But it's a football night. But it's a football night. We can gather all our friends all around the Zoom. That's not a better thing to do. But it's a football night. But it's a football night. When the final whistle blows, we're gonna celebrate tonight. When the final whistle blows, we're gonna celebrate tonight.
Alright, we're back. We left one special guest, and we have another very special guest. The return of Allie Trost. Al, what's going on?
You know, just really, like, I'm smiling so big, so I'm so excited. Guys, I'm such a loser. But I'm also just so excited for soccer. I mean, watching the pro women's soccer team kick off KCNWSL on Friday, of, you know, last week, whenever
you were in a crazy game too.
It might be a crazy game, but also just so pumped, you know, sporting season. And for the MLS just as a whole, finally having, you know, just a normal season ahead, or a mostly normal season ahead. Last season was crazy. The MLS is back tournament, the starts, the stops. So really just excited, even with the delay, to just get back to MLS.
See, Thad, now that's why I'm so happy to have Allie back, because she gives me some energy. I tried so hard last week to get Thad excited about Casey Woso, and he was just like, yeah. Yeah, cool.
No, you said tingly. That was the issue. Tingly.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not gonna have you make me tingly, Cody, in any way, shape, or form.
Guys, remember the long hours we spent in that old studio?
I do.
I miss that. Kansas. I know. I miss it too. I know.
Going to the little like convenience store section and just buying snacks nonstop.
The convenience.
Allie always drinking room. Some alcohol or something. It's crazy.
No, I was eating candy. I was so
good times. One day we'll get back. We got new awesome stuff.
You noticed there's like sweatpants and everything. It's like, oh, we really mean a whole lot to her, don't we?
It's just yeah.
That's how you know you have a real friend.
I'm rolling. I'm wearing my sweats. I like hopped out of the shower, throw on a hoodie, and I'm ready to go. So
that sometimes it was after you worked out. Yeah.
I don't know. It was off camera.
Made that room aromatic. That was nice.
Yeah. So welcome back.
You said you're fragrant. Yeah.
Welcome back, Allie. You used to smell bad, according to Bob.
I said aromatic. I didn't say smell bad.
That was okay. In a polite way.
So Thad actually gave us some direction for this podcast. So I'm going to you first, Thad Bell.
Oh.
What are you excited for? This is our preseason podcast series. I haven't even introduced that yet, but episode one of our preseason. No, we've had a lot of preseason podcasts. Episode one of our season preview. How about that? There we go.
Episode one, part two. Yeah.
That.
As you can tell, we have lots of preparation before this podcast.
Entirely unprepared, but I won both volleyball matches, so that's the important thing. Thad, what are you excited about this year?
So you stink that. Oh, okay.
I do, absolutely.
What am I excited about for Sporting Kansas City? I am excited about 11 Academy players being on that team, 12 homegrown players because they stole one from LA, and seeing some of those guys develop, not just Busio, not just Lindsay, but Freeman, Duke, Harris, Hernandez, etc. I want to see more of those guys.
Play the kids. They're finally doing it.
They have to.
Hey.
Damn you, Thad. You took mine. Jeez.
Hey, not easily.
That's what happens when Cody gives me first try.
Robert, you just didn't have anything ready, and that was your excuse, was to say.
No, that was actually it. That was it. So Allie's next. I'll think of something.
Okay.
Right, well, I think it's fair to say that everybody's excited for 11 homegrowns on this Sporting Kansas City roster, and a lot of potential with some of these players that aren't just the players that we've been seeing for a couple of years. The Busios, Lindsay, Daniel Shallowy, we can even throw in that conversation. But I'm personally really excited for some competition at center back. It was sad, I think, to see Matt Beisler depart from the club. He meant so much to Kansas City and to Sporting, but I'm really intrigued by this center back room right now with the addition of Nicholas Izimat-Marin. Is he? Which is a much easier thing to say.
She went for it. Allie's so much more professional than us. Every time we get to that name, we're like, Nim? Can we just call him Nim?
Yes, I have practiced saying this now for quite some time. Last few weeks.
She gets more practice than we do.
See, I'm really excited, you know, just to see what he brings. And I think he'll most likely be a starter on day one. But we saw the center back room, like it was a revolving door last year. So who think that that position is one that, you know, Vermees is going to ultimately assess who the, you know, what the best pairing is and put that out there. But there's some good competition in that room, and the signing of Kaveh Rad, I think, just adds to that. Not that he's going to be a starter day one, but great depth and someone who I think can really progress and grow within, you know, the first team. I think the progression from the center back room last year to this year is going to be really positive.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that there was competition going on last year. It was just not as good of a competition. It was that no one was.
That didn't work last week, so we're just going to just switch it all up and try.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about the prospect of maybe having better center backs.
So are we implying we don't want to see Graham Smith hit the field ever for any reason? Is that what we're implying?
No, that's not.
I think
he hasn't been bad. He was not brought on this team. He wasn't drafted with the intent of being like the guy. Mm-hmm. I think he's achieved.
I was just asking for a friend
on this team. Hey, the depth piece. That's what
I think the one that has become kind of the butt of the joke at center back is unfortunately Fontas, because he's probably going to be playing a lot. But I think he's the one that a lot of people are like, oh no, keep him off the field.
I'm high on Fontas going into the season. I'll say.
Yeah.
I'm with Ali.
Yeah.
I'm with you too, Ali.
Man, we got a smart podcast here. also, Robert, I'll give you more time to think. I'll go very basic on mine. I am very excited to see Alan Pulido have a full season with one season under his belt, a half of a season kind of under his belt already. I'm very excited to see him, you know, get a little more comfortable in the league and put together an entire season. So yeah, they spent the money. We've seen how good he can be. I'm ready to see him start racking up the goals and lead MLS in goals scored. That's what I'm ready for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to combine kind of like everything that you guys said, but mystery is the word I'm going with. Is the center back situation going to be solved? Is Remy Walter going to be Rogers' heir or Ilya's heir? What are these homegrowns going to do? And we're going to see the growth of them. So can it's all just kind of a mystery. Is Pulido going to be fit for, you know, most of the games? So a lot of mystery around this team, but a lot of excitement too, and a lot of growth potential for sure.
I guess Busio. We should also mention Busio. I know that's part of the homegrown thing there, but that's very exciting. We all know how good he can be. And just with that goal in the preseason, I'm very ready to see him just be unleashed. Yeah, I'm excited.
And making all those people at US Soccer look really stupid for not having picked him for the U23 team.
Right. It's easy to make US Soccer look stupid, too. So
he's in Christ. Allie was excited for competition in the back line. Who do you think is going to be the starting two, the most common starting two?
I think it'll either be Issy and Fontas or Issy and Puncic. Because I think you had mentioned like second year Alan Pulido. I'm excited for second year Roberto Puncic and second year Gadi Kinda. Like, let's see these guys after a, you know, 1 year under their belt in MLS. And not just 1 year, but like a COVID year. It was not a normal season for anybody. So the fact that Sporting Kansas City even achieved like first in the West last year, avoided any sort of COVID outbreak, I think is like really impressive and remarkable in the sense that they were able to do that. But there's still high expectations on this team. I do think that they got better, especially from 19 to 20 and 20 to now 21. I do think that they've gotten better each year, which is great considering that 2019 was such a poor year in the club's history. So, I think as far as center back's concerned, I do feel confident that like EC will be a starter that they kind of build around, because we saw different combinations with the existing center backs that are on this roster and nothing really stuck, which makes me believe that the new piece coming in EC is going to be a constant. And it's just a matter of who I think matches up best with him and who they feel the most confident in far as the pairing alongside of him, because I think the qualities that he brings, I don't want to compare it exactly to Aiko Paro because I haven't watched enough of his tape to like say certain, you know, for sure if that's, you know, what they see, but we know what this back line likes. They like someone, you know, the Matt Beisler Aiko Paro combo was unbeatable for a majority of, you know, the time that they were together. You had the player who could cover a lot of ground. You had Matt Beisler, who's great with his feet, great with distributing the ball. So I do think, you know, having a player like Issy, who's known for covering a lot of ground, who is, you know, really athletic, a, you know, really solid, quick center back, who's great in the air, and then someone who can maybe play the ball with their feet really well, which could be a Fontes. Like I am really excited actually to see what Fontes healthy is like now. So I think it's going to come down to one of those two combinations. It's going to be either Fontes and Issy or Issy and Puncic.
Yeah, I think Issy is going to bring a lot of off the field value as well. I think he seems to have a pretty like big personality, and I'm excited. I think fans are going to fall in love with him pretty quick.
Yeah, he wants to be challenged. I think that's a great thing to hear about any player, is that, you know, they don't want to come in and just be who they've always been. They want to come in and they want to be pushed to be even greater than what they've already achieved. So I think that that was a positive. I mean, again, it's all talk until you see anything on the field, but I liked, you know, hearing that personally.
Yeah, in his presser when he was introduced, somebody asked what he can bring to Kansas City, and he said, "No, it's what Kansas City can do for me."
Nice.
No, yeah, but what Jimmy Nielsen was talking about, Ali, was you know, we had this legendary pairing of Beisler and Colin, and then we had Beisler and Opara. I think it's time that we have another one of those pairings. Who is it going to be, though? But it's time.
I do think I think you're right on, though, on the. I think we're going to see a lot of Issy and Fontes this year, at least to start. I think that's probably what we're going to see a lot of.
And Ali, not that this has anything to do with anyone you mentioned, but how is your upstairs neighbor these days?
I don't know who you're talking about. But I will say, whoever my upstairs neighbor is, still rocking on the piano. So
okay.
That's good. One thing that you said that sparked or that jogged my memory there was a second year Gotti, man. Like that is a very exciting thing. Remember the first like two games he got in and everyone was like, oh, holy shit. Like this guy's really exciting to watch. Yeah. That's a very good point to bring up. I'm excited to see him again this year.
I mean, that's another mystery, though. How is that midfield going to work? I mean, you've got Kinde, you got Busio, you got Walter, you got Espinoza, you got Ilie. What's going to happen there, you know?
Well, that's one of those. At least he's got options, which there was a lack of last year, I think we realized.
Yeah. And how many of you think Busio, is he belong in the midfield? Or do you think it's best for him to be on the wing so we can get solid three in the middle? What do you guys think?
I believe, I'm trying to convince myself, I believe that Busio is way better than MLS in that he could play in any of the positions and be useful in this league. So I think he could be effective in the midfield. I think he could do it at the wing. But yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, he's creative enough. And from, you know, the brief moments we've seen in preseason, it looks like he's confident enough and has the audacity to try things now. So yeah, I think he's going to be a good fit there in that attacking mid.
Yeah, I'd say attacking mid as well. I mean, we saw him briefly out on the wing at times
this
season, which wasn't a bad fit. I mean, we saw him in a number of different positions last season, but his natural position is attacking mid. And I do think, I mean, seeing that goal he scored against the LA Galaxy in the preseason with, you know, just kind of taking, like, that's a skill that Busio has that is so unique. And like he said on the Sporting KC show that we did with him on the first week, that he's been working on shooting, you know, both left and right footed, like trying to catch opposing defenses off, you know, off guard by doing things like that. And I do think that coupled with the fact that he is going to be in the role of a creator, I mean, the number 10, like his role is to create in that midfield. And when you have him out there consistently with a player like Alan Pulido, if Gotti Kinda, you know, again, like whatever their combination, I'm just excited to see what some of the like cohesiveness looks like. And that's something that is really hard to know at this point until we start seeing it in action. And so I'm most curious, I think, to see what the midfield looks like, how that midfield looks in common, you know, in relation to like the attack, you know, the front three in the attack. I just think like there are a lot of questions. There have been like not too many changes, but like at the same time, a lot of changes, it feels like, with this team.
Yeah, those two things you mentioned. I mean, Gadi Kinda. Okay, if Busio's the 10, is Kinda on the wing, or is Kinda sitting when Busio's playing there? You know, you want both, don't you? And then you said something about continuity. A team works best when there is continuity and not constant changing. So just how it's going to play out, it's going to be interesting.
I think the last two seasons, like the thing that this Sporting team has kind of lacked that they had in that really impressive 2018 squad was cohesion. Like whether it was due to injury or just, you know, the scheduling or whatever. I know last year Vermees was trying to figure out what the best back line combination was. I just feel like they haven't had that same cohesion that they have on past successful teams. And I forget if we were talking on this show about it or when it was, but like, you know, in the past, like they didn't really switch up the formation, not the formation, but like the lineup as frequently as we've seen in these last couple of seasons. And whether that, like I said, was due to a, you know, scheduling thing with the COVID season, just trying to figure some different positions out, or 2019, all the injuries that they sustained and all those things. Like, I really think that they have, if they can stay healthy, they have a lot of depth in these roles outside of maybe the left wing. I think that's still a big question mark for this team and what the front line's going to look like. But I think as far as the midfield and then the back four is concerned, there's more depth and experience than there has been in the last two seasons.
So we covered the defense. We talked about the midfield. And my goal here with Allie was to have her get in a conversation here that the next Sporting KC show on 810, it's relevant, so that whenever she's on there, she'll just naturally come up like, oh, we were just talking about this on Shades of Blue.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Tomorrow night, so I'll be sure to make it.
Right, yeah. It'll be fresh in your head. So, yes, that front line. Are you comfortable with this front line? Can the front three do it without really any support?
I mean, like, I think the number one thing that matters here the most is, like, is Alan Pulido available? And that was something that we didn't really have the luxury of seeing that often last season.
Yeah.
You know, for a number of different reasons. But I think is, like, if he's there, that kind of solves some other, like, that kind of solves everything, I personally think, like, when it comes to the attack. What I'm curious to know is, like a Wilson Harris or like some of how well could a player like that kind of, you know, step into the lineup and produce a similar outcome that an Alan Pulido would? I don't know.
Well,
as far as the wingers are concerned, like I think Johnny Russell, you can have a lot of confidence in. Kyrie Shelton on the wing was a success in some games, maybe not, you know, as consistently throughout the season.
That starting three is great.
It is, but like they played so many games without Pulido there that changes what they're able to do with that preferred front three.
So. Yeah, I feel very good if that front three are in there, but it's not even just if Pulido is available. I mean, if Johnny's not there, then there are a lot of questions that will arise as well. You know, that's just that's my thing I'm worried about is, you know, just any knock in the first game. And then it's like, well, crap. Now we have nothing up front. Like it just worries me.
Yeah. I mean, what we want to happen up there is gravity. We want teams to say, oh, I got to worry about Alan Pulido. Oh, wait a minute. Here's Johnny Russell. Oh, there's Gianluca Busio. Oh crap. There's Gadi Kinda. What are we going to do? You can't cover them all, you know? So gravity can pull that ball where it needs to be, the open man, and dangerous.
Two of those players that we keep talking about haven't played hardly at all in preseason.
Yeah.
They've been injured or gone injured again.
Well, you know, and Russell.
Last game, yeah.
Yeah. He played the last game, didn't he?
No, he was out the last game.
Yeah, right. He missed the last game, but he played the games before that.
Okay, so I brought this up on my show that I do on Saturdays with Sean Goodwin of KC Star, and like it's not an immediate worry right now.
Nice plug. Plug it. Where can we listen to that? Are
you kidding me?
Where can we listen to that show?
Sports Radio 810, baby, and we talk soccer all the time. What I was going to say is, okay, Johnny Russell is, you know, 30 years old. He doesn't have like some crazy injury history, so it's not to be, you know, a huge concern. But I was just floating it out there, not to say it's an immediate concern, but like that's someone who in their, you know, early 30s could, like, we've heard different players talk about when they reach a certain age, you just have to treat your body a bit differently than you do in the past. I think it would be wise if Sporting did have very secure depth pieces on the wings. And maybe they do in a player like Shallowy. You know, we did hear, I think, Vermees say, you know, a few different things about him in this preseason. We've seen what he can contribute to this team. He was tied for leading goal scorer or the leading goal scorer in the 2018 season. Like, he's got it. It was just, you know, kind of missing the last couple of seasons. So they have someone who's still young, still has that, you know, ability. But I just think, like, you can't put all your eggs in the Shelton, Russell, and Polito baskets and hope that that is going to be consistent, because we saw last season that it wasn't a consistent front three for them.
Well, yeah. And yeah, that's a good point. You know, Russell is another year older. And the last 2 years, we already know that Johnny's kind of donezo at like 65 or 70 minutes. Like, he runs his ass off the whole time and is often gassed by then already. So, yeah, I mean, there's, like I said, I love that front three. I'm higher on Shelton than a lot of people are. I do really like that.
I've always been a Harry Shelton proponent. So,
yeah. Yeah, so I like that. It's just that, you know, I think if you're just looking at the roster, that's the biggest question mark, obviously, is what happens after that front three.
How worried are fans going to be when the starting lineup is Shallowy, Shelton, and Cisneros?
Oh, God. Shallowy starting games.
I don't think it's as much of something to be like worried about. Just be like, okay, show me what you saw. Because, like, I can be convinced either way if it works. But, and I do think that they have the depth and the talent to, like, make a few different lineup combinations work. I just, like, it's been really tough, I think, not being able to see some of that. And then last season, you know, we didn't really see Shallowy at all. We didn't see any of these some of these homegrown players weren't even signed with the first team. So it's like, I think that there are a lot of question marks as far as, like, what certain players have or don't have that we simply haven't seen them. It's different, but it's not at the same time, if that makes sense.
We need a gimme for Shallowy in match day one. He can come on for Russell at the end game, and then just the ball hits off of his chest and goes in the net. Like, that's what we need from him.
No love.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll call it a no. He can be looking the other direction just as long as the ball hits off and goes in the net.
That is so true.
Okay. Yeah, we've got like an hour long podcast here with the two parts. Any final thoughts here? Allie, we will not wait an entire year in between every time to have you on. It's too much fun.
Okay. Has it been a year? What?
It seems like it. I don't know.
Last year was just weird though. Like, we can all
know
that. It was a weird season and they played the same teams like every other week. It was just
not just soccer. Last year was just weird on all accounts. Yeah.
Finally getting vaccinated tomorrow. Woo!
Nice. Good job. Mine's on Thursday. I got mine on Thursday.
Already got mine.
Good job, Dad. Allie, are you essential? Have you gotten yours yet?
I'm not essential. Well,
everybody's eligible now.
I know. I'm going to look into which ones. Like, Tom got his. I think he got a second shot. He did Pfizer. So that was...
Do Pfizer if you can.
Do we have a choice? Robert, do you know what you're getting? Because I just got an email.
Pfizer, like, yeah.
No one told me anything. they were just like, show up here.
They could be putting anything in your arm, man.
Like, I don't know. Getting I got it a at? QR code. I'm going to show up and be like, we'll see, though.
Do you know where you're getting it at, Cody?
I thought you meant arm. I have an address that I cannot immediately recall off the top of my head.
Somebody just gave you an address.
Yeah, a guy in a corner of a parking lot. Yeah. I don't know. It seems legit.
out of the back of a van. Yeah.
All right, Thad. Any final thoughts? Any way you want to throw us off course here before I try to end it?
I'm gonna go watch Sporting 2 in Omaha this weekend.
Sporting 2, Omaha.
Sounds like a trip.
You're going there, or you're just gonna watch a video?
I'm gonna go there.
What part of that did you not understand, Cody?
He wasn't listening because he's being barked at by his dog.
I was yelling at my dog. I thought he said he was going to watch it. Okay, you're going there. That's fun.
I'll be in St. Louis, so I don't even know if I'll see the game Saturday night.
Let's get... I don't want any more of the St. Louis talk. I'm surrounded by St. Louisans here.
I went to St. Louis for my littlest brother's birthday and my friend's bridal shower. So,
Allie, what are you going to do when... I don't know a St. Louis radio station. When St. Louis comes calling and says, hey, we want you to be our radio program. You're going, no, you're not going to leave Kansas City.
My goal now is I want to take the women's soccer thing and take it as far as I can. So my goal is to, you know, work in Kansas City primarily, but I mean, I'm in the networking process. I want to get with CBS and be on their national calls for different games. So,
sweet.
Be whether it's as a reporter or, you know, ideally I'd like to be in the booth, but that's my goal.
So. Well, you know, if we can help you up that ladder, just let us know. We're here for you.
we've already done all the help we can.
Shut up, Dad. I was trying to be nice.
if we have learned anything about you, it's that if you do have a goal, you'll probably see it realized soon. So I'm sure.
Amen.
And I have a good feeling about Casey, this iteration of Casey Woso in Kansas City.
Everyone there is like so, like the team that they're assembling is so great. I guess it's not like public yet. They're still working on like all the broadcast stuff, but they want me to be the analyst for the team. So
nice. Dropping news.
It'll be a chat. Like I have been doing some high school game stuff just to try to get some reps, but you know, it's something like I feel like I can grow to be good at. I just need to start doing it. So.
And also, right. You need to come up with a name. Get this team an actual name. That's what I want.
I know, you guys. I get asked this legitimately every single day. And I'm like, look, they don't have a name. I know Woso sounds fucking weird to say. Say it. And they're going to have a name by the end of this year, I think.
Oh, okay. That's sooner than I was thinking.
They wanted to give it a season to like go through a formal process. I think a lot of names also are kind of taken, you know, like. It's kind of hard to get a good name that you like that isn't already trademarked or whatever, like unavailable for use.
Yeah.
So the it's a work in progress, but they, I think ultimately they just wanted to, you know, not name it something and then be like, that, you know, they wanted to like, feel like they did it the right way.
There've been a lot of teams that have rebranded lately because they screwed up the rebrand that they did in the first place. Louisville's screwed up their rebrand like twice now, you know, so they finally got it right, I think.
Yeah. And like I really dig the inaugural like crest and colors. Like I think they did a really good job, like solid job with just, hey, this is what we're working with. And I would be shocked if they didn't keep going with the teal just because it's been so
good color
accepted and people have been like really all over that. So
I think the red needs to be minimized though. It's a little glaring as long as it's in small amounts.
Looks like my nails. It's too much. It's very bright.
Yeah. That red and the teal next to each other. It's just a little clashy, but
okay.
That's okay.
Allie, thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
We are going to get out of here, but we expect to have a player. We expect to.
We've been promised one.
We've been promised one, but you know, the way
that we've been promised things before. So,
yes, three different perspectives for you. So stay tuned. I feel like there wasn't much soccer in this one, or even with Jimmy Nielsen either, but.
Well, at least we weren't talking about tacos this time.
Thank you very much for joining and we'll talk soon, Allie.
Thank you guys, you're the best.
See ya. Thanks, Allie.
Cheers. The other side don't seem so tough. And three on goals ain't all that rough. Our skipper has just been sent off. Some part of strong evolved on stuff like butt butt tanks got me drinking. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking.